slušam samo more, kad se jave zore, kad smo skupa mi.
Yo, what the fuck is up, y'all? Welcome to another motherfucking episode of Kill the Mockingbirds. I'm your host, Sean Chris. And we've been kind of switching things up a little bit over here. And we got like a new co-host, man. What's up, man? What's your name?
Yo, what's up, man? My name's Edgar, man. I'm, we've been friends for a long time. I don't think anybody really knows me, but I'm here.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? My homeboy Edgar over here, he's down where we're at. So we're trying to see if we could, we're doing a co-host spot, like seeing, I've been trying to fill it for a while. So, hey, maybe this is the one we need. So, you know, tell everybody what you do. You fuck around with art and stuff, right? You've been messing around with like conspiracies and not politics necessarily, but more like conspiracies for a long time, right?
Oh, yeah, man. You know, with music and... with music and art, man, we just keep, you know, throughout the years, man, it pops up. It pops up everywhere. And, you know, I've been painting, recording music as well. And it's just one of those things, man. That's why I'm here. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then what we had a couple episodes with a lot of different people lately going through certain topics. I'm kind of trying to get back onto the news tip. So kind of help me real quick with my new co-host. Going to help me.
Edgar.
That's me, man.
Edgar. Woo.
Come on. Who doesn't like that?
Nah, but let's start off real quick with what everybody's worried about. The new white supremacy devil.
Wow.
Elon Musk.
The deal is done. Twitter has been sold to Elon Musk.
My tummy meter says there's something just not great about this.
He talks about it being a free speech platform. I'm not sure what that means.
This guy has no experience whatsoever with any of the lines of business involved in Twitter.
It seems to me that it's about free speech of straight white men. And
in many ways, Twitter has been a dark, dark place. I hope it doesn't get any darker.
Yeah, this is a weird guy. And it's going to be a private company.
Our public conversations shouldn't be at the whims of anybody.
Amazon founder Jeff Bezos also throwing shade at the deal, questioning whether China would gain more influence over Twitter.
If you have $44 billion and you use it to buy Twitter, you make bad decisions.
This affects all of us in terms of misinformation.
You know, I guess billionaires want to take over free speech, and I'm not here for it.
He talks about it being a place where there's trust, where there's open algorithms. So it's a lot of words, and it's kind of a word salad.
I'm confused about what to do. We all use Twitter. Do I stop, or do I wait and see what happens?
And for me, that is something that is a bit scary.
Wow, they're scared, man.
I was worried too, man.
It's just funny because I do see like the hypocrisy, what the right is calling out. Like, it's funny because Elon's all in on carbon taxes, all in on electric vehicles, all in on like owning nothing and being happy. He's like even claims because what he only has like brags about living on couches and couch surfing and living at different friends' houses, and that's the way to live. And he's really promoting that.
People love it.
Yeah, and people love it.
They're falling for it. I wouldn't say falling for it, but they really are taking his side on this.
Yeah, on the right.
Yeah.
On the right, yeah. They're saying like
speaking on the right.
They think that he's going after free speech. But I'm saying the ironic part is the left the whole time has liked everything. His whole agenda that he goes for besides this whole free speech thing. I'm just saying like besides that, like for instance, Elon Musk reportedly lives in a $50,000 prefab tiny home. So he's also pushing out these little tiny homes like – that's that like whole blockchain living in a project. It's almost like the same, like how they started with the projects.
Yep.
It's just like a unit, almost like a jail. You're stuck in there.
Yeah, you just need a barcode, put on your back, you know, insert Neuralink there.
Yeah, and that's the thing too. I think like on the right, a lot of people kind of like miss the whole target of him like being all in on viral metrics and AI inside your head and believing that AI is such a detrimental thing that it's more severe than nuclear war, that's going to have a more impact on human beings, that he thinks that we have to become half of them. Like, we have to become part of them. That's how dangerous he thinks it is. And I just don't understand why a lot of the right is, they go, oh, well, I do. I know that he's not the best, but he's for free speech in this thing. And I'm like, is he really for free speech? Or is this going to be the program that we got to put our IDs online so we could get a blue check mark, so we could verify who we are to get rid of the bots. I feel like that's really what's going on.
It might be. It might be. And, you know, a lot of these right wingers are pretty desperate right now. So this is like their freaking shining icon right now. And they love it, man. But they don't see it. They don't see it.
Well, they get wrapped in the game. So, like, when you're wrapped in the political game of my team's winning, they forget, like, hey, there's shitty people on all sides. But right now, they're, like, kind of look like they're on your side, and they're getting your points across. So now all this time when everybody's slamming you, you're like, finally, this is when we get. But really, you're not getting anything because they're playing the paradigm of the red team, blue team. And I think so many people play into that, that it's hard to see what's right in front of your face. Like, look, Elon Musk disturbing dalliance with transhumanism, given that Twitter services as the de facto public town square, failing to adhere to free speech principles fundamentally undermine democracy.
Elon Musk. I still can't really say his name.
Yeah, you know? I don't really like saying his name. I mean, I have my own thing about him. I mean, that's his quote from Twitter in March. He had other quotes where what's it called? I'll have all this in the show notes. I have a bunch of his old tweets where he's promoting that we should have a carbon tax. His mom, how she has a lot of Illuminati like symbolism like all over her. Like his connections with the WEF, the World Economic Forum. Everything that he's on, to me, he's on board on everything. And he's just using this as a catalyst. Plus, it helps the government. And we've seen already like other stuff that happened. Like I said, what's it called? I have the connections of him with the World Economic Forum, but then we have what's happening in the EU, which is not necessarily because of him, but this is what you're seeing where it's going, and this is the EU.
The European Union agreed on legislation today for landmark new rules that will push the world's biggest social media companies to stop the spread of online information, misinformation, I should say. It's called the Digital Services Act, and it's expected to be passed into law in Europe, where companies like Google, Meta, and Twitter could face fines if they don't remove hate speech, propaganda, or other material from their sites.
Fuck those motherfuckers. Like, it's just crazy.
That is wild, man. That's.
And, but did you hear his little stumble? He said, censoring, disinformation.
You know, the censorship or.
Audience lip.
Coercion. I don't know.
Yeah, so, like, you see that. So the EU power to fine big tech billions and crack down on hate speech. So they're going to be saying disinformation, harmful content, hate speech is going to be something that you could get fined for. And then, so what's going to happen is, like, obviously the companies aren't want to get fined, so they're going to police. They're going to find new ways of policing their own sites, of making it, like, something that is falls right in line of what's happening with all the bullshit. And then, immediately over here, we get this.
Department of Homeland Security is now aiming to counteract fake news. During a congressional hearing today, Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas testified that they've established a new disinformation governance board. Mayorkas says the board will combat threats to election and homeland security ahead of the midterm elections. Politico reports that the team will focus on news about immigration and Russia. Disinformation expert Nina Jankowicz will head the board as executive director.
You know, what if you woke up some morning and there was no radio? It sounds like the beginning of a short story, you know, but 1984 isn't that far away.
I'm just saying it's not. The Ministry of Truth is here. The article says, earlier this week, Department of Homeland Security, Alejandro Mayorkas, you know I'm terrible with names, told Congress that his agency is creating a disinformation governance board, which is the Ministry of Truth, to combat misinformation. But what is considered misinformation? Who defines what misinformation is? Because if I say, hey, the sky is blue and you say the sky is red, and even though I could see it's red, but you see, I mean, I see it blue and you see it red, like, who's misinforming who?
Government.
Yeah, and here comes the government. Dun, 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 dun. And that's what wild. It's going to be, man. It's going to be 1984 all day.
I really can't believe that that's going on nowadays. When information is so readily available for everybody, man. And we shouldn't have to have these big companies or the government to tell us what is truth and what is not.
Definitely. And I think that's what they're doing, is that they're reeling in the internet. The internet got away from them. It's become their own, its own thing. It's a double-edged sword. It was good for brainwashing some, but it's also been a capable tool for people like us and others to be able to get other information out. So now they're trying to reel it back in, and this is the excuses. You can't just censor it completely. They have different avenues that they have to go through, in my opinion, to get it done. And now that Twitter, now it's a big hot button buzzword because Elon Musk is taking it over. And then now that they go, okay, well, we got to do this. And the left is like, yeah, we should do that because, you know, white supremacy, free speech. And you're like, dude, you have to defend free speech all the time. Like, I was talking, I talked about my last show or a couple of shows ago, and I've talked about it in a few other shows that I've been on. It's just about the whole Marjorie Taylor Greene, the same thing, like where she reported to the Capitol Police what happened with Jimmy Kimmel for making a joke. And the joke was basically saying, oh, where's Will Smith when you need him? Because insinuating that he should slap her. And he called her a Klans member too. But my thing is, are you fighting for free speech or are you not? Are you for free speech or are you not? Or are you just like the left and there's certain speech that you are for, but there's certain speech that you aren't? I think that's the thing that people tend to forget. And these politicians push us into these positions to where they make it seem like, hey, I'm on your team, so I'm saying the right thing. They can't say those words. You know what I mean? Like, you can't say that. You can't do this, but we can. And it's such a – I got a little clip of her later that I'll throw out. But just because, like, I'm trying to relate and show people, like, how she is basically the red AOC.
Oh, I see that. Yeah, for sure. I can totally see that, yeah. And, you know, and anything for safety for the right-wingers. You know, you anything for safety. And, you know, Elon Musk right now – doing this for free speech, you know, they want to save people from the bots. They don't want to be trolled, and that's their excuse right now. And I don't think that's a very good catalyst right now.
Yeah, because it's like, who cares? It's just a bot, man.
And
like,
I really can't believe people are falling for it.
Yeah, well, I think it's just because they have the veil over their eyes, because all they see is, oh, the left wing is saying this, I'm going opposite. And the left wing does the same thing. Oh, right wing thinks this, I'm going to flip it on the opposite. So whatever anybody comes out,
they're doubling down.
Exactly. And then the Kremlin, it says, Musk may fail in Twitter mission. Russia's attitude towards this company is based on the actions of this company on censorship, selective representative action against the company's clients, on the distortion and manipulation of information. Pozovsky stated on Thursday, I can't say his name, so Pozovkov.
Even Musk, Elon Musk.
Yeah, Elon Musk.
People love this guy, man. People
yeah, so I would just say, I'm going to be posting more stuff on the Instagram, and Mr. Ramos will probably be posting some stuff over on the other. He's on the Operation Mockingbird.
Yes.
So give him a follow for sure. So he'll be posting some other information. But I think basically what I'm saying is, don't fall for this guy. I mean, everything he did, he bought. Like, he didn't develop Tesla. Two brothers developed Tesla.
Which I thought he did.
Me too.
I thought he came up with Tesla. And that would be like this great thing. But I'm like, oh, you just bought the company.
Yeah, not even, you didn't design the car. You didn't do everything that he's done is like, he's kind of like, so I think like these characters that just show, especially him, at least Trump, like we saw him for a long time.
We saw him for years, man.
Alone just came out of nowhere, right? In the last, 15 years?
I didn't know who he was.
Like he's more recently, like
And you filled me in with his family ties, which is weird.
Yeah, his family ties are super weird, which, like I said, I'll have in the show notes. I have a bunch of little clusters of screenshots of just all kinds of weird, I don't know, him and his mom, and his mom's like doing a lot of Illuminati shit, and his girlfriend, and his ties even was dating that Amber Heard bed shitter, 21 Dump Street.
Call her the chocolate factory.
Man, it's just, it's wild, man. But enough about Elon Musk. I refuse to say his name. I don't have respect for him. I mean,
people love him. I hear it all the time. I was working last week. We heard the news. Okay, the guy bought it. My boss was like, "Yes, I can't believe it." And I'm like, "Wow, these people really love this guy. This is their." And you could see it on the internet too.
Yeah, definitely. But let's go in a little bit, see what's going on in Ukraine. Here's what Putin had to say.
Russian President Vladimir Putin has warned the West against interfering in Ukraine, saying his country would unleash, quote, counterstrikes against threats he deemed unacceptable. His comments came as Russia makes gains in Ukraine's east and south. Ukraine's defense ministry says Russian troops have captured several towns in the eastern Donbass region.
So that's what Putin was saying, especially after Biden announced another $33 billion in economic assistance to Ukraine as U.S. economy crumbles, inflation's hit 40-year highs, gas prices skyrocket, GDP declines. President Biden is asking Congress for $33 billion in military, economic, and humanitarian assistance to support Ukraine, although he insists that the U.S. was not attacking Russia.
Oh, no.
Dude, that's a lot of money.
That's a ton of money. I thought we were in debt.
Oh, yeah, we are in debt, man. That's a whole nother story. But we've already gave them $13 billion. We've already gave them another $500 million. And I think there was another $2 or $3 billion. So I know that Lockheed Martin and Raytheon, the big old distributors of, like, military weapons in the States, are probably, you know, loving this. Because that money, what's going to happen, what they do is, they'll get rid of a lot of old equipment. So they've have a bunch of this equipment that they've been wanting to dump off. Nobody wants to buy it. Every branch, right? There's a bunch of stuff because, you know, new things come out because these companies are constantly making, oh, look, we got a new state of the art.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
And they're keep pressing it. So what they're going to do is they're going to give all the old stuff to, like, Ukraine, right? And then they're going to use the money to buy new little toys for themselves and the new branches. So that's pretty much what happened. It's a whole little...
See, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and it's crazy because it's like,
I mean,
these little dumps.
I knew that.
Yeah, when you think about it, like, yeah, you're not thinking about it, but when you just start kind of think about it and you start talking to people and you're like, dang, yeah, they're just kind of just getting rid of the old shit any way they can.
And then you follow the money trail.
Yeah, and all this stuff about, you know, Russia, you know, and sanctions and gas and inflation, everything's right now is obviously being blamed on Russia. But some of the funny things is Poland is still buying gas from Russia.
Are they really?
Yeah, here's a quote from one of their officials. It says, this week, Poland refused to pay. Oh, no. Yeah, here we go. Refused to pay for the Russian gas with the new terms in rubles. It was grandly announced that they're no longer needed Russian gas and would not buy it anymore. But in fact, Poland keeps buying Russian gas after the direct supply was halted. It now buys the gas from Germany, and it comes back to Poland with the reverse flow via the Yamal European pipeline. So it's just another, like, kind of like lie that they tell us, that they put it, dangle this stuff in our face of where, hey, we're all in on it together. We're all going to hurt. No, because you don't want to hurt your own country, and they need those natural resources. We don't depend on. That's what's so weird is that we don't depend on Russian oil. We Saudi Arabia, but we also have a lot of reserves ourselves.
We don't tap them.
Yeah, well, now they're supposedly tapping them. That's supposedly. Because suppose, remember during the pandemic when oil was like -$36 or something, Trump was supposedly filling everything to the top and like to the brim. Supposedly, we should have tons and tons of oil. So I think a lot of this inflation is obviously bullshit and it's manufactured. I don't have too much on, I'm going to try to do it probably for the next episode, but with all these food processing plants that are being destroyed and set on fire or mysteriously, like, things are happening, like, I really want to get into that. I'm probably going to have to go check out, what's his name, that Ice Age farmer. He usually has some good stuff on things like that. So, but yeah, I think that these are things that are being created. They're manufactured. It's not like it's organic. There's not a bunch of food processing plants that just so happened to all get set on fire at the same time when they're slaughtering probably millions of chickens because of them having COVID, and they have three that tested positive, so they kill them, the whole farm. They're getting government subsidies for that, which makes chicken prices go up from $1.99 to $4.99 a pound. You know what I mean? Yeah. These are the things that happen, that this is how inflation happens. But to me, it looks so manufactured with what's going on.
Totally.
Yeah, like everything, yep. Every single thing. Like, it's like when you see, like, the whole Subway thing, you know, with that guy. And now, right after all this gun stuff, it's kind of just ironic. And especially that one's so funny to me because he called it. I just can't believe he called on himself. But more about Russia. Russia accuses NATO of proxy war in Ukraine. The big picture, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, I don't know how to say his name, also warned against provoking a third world war and said the threat of nuclear conflict should not be underestimated, according to a transcript from Russian Foreign Ministry. Ukraine Foreign Ministry, damn, they got some crazy ass name, Dmytro Kublyana tweeted, Kuleba, that Lavrov's comments showed that the Kremlin had lost it. Last hope to scare the world for supporting Ukraine. Thus, the talk of real danger of World War III. This only means Moscow sensed defeat in Ukraine, he added. Therefore, the world must double down on supporting Ukraine so that we prevail and safeguard European and the global security. I agree. I think it is a proxy war. I think this shit, it's totally a proxy war. NATO's trying to push more. They've been a fat fucking ogre ready to fucking take more shit for so long. They've been building and getting so much defenses. I think NATO is pushing this into a fight, and they want World War III. I think they do. I think everybody wants it. It's a distraction, helps with the Great Reset, gets people paid in the meantime, you know, like all the, it kind of gets all the levels. And it takes care of everybody on all kinds of levels. So I think that's why they're like pushing, in my opinion, towards that. Yeah, well, I think there is a war. Like, don't get me wrong. I think that's, what, in my opinion, a lot of stuff gets misconstrued. For instance, the
Sandy Hook.
you don't want to say that.
Yeah. Well, that whole incident, I feel, in my opinion, that, like, I'm not saying it is or isn't, but I think what happens is people are like, oh, crisis actors. I'm not saying there's no such thing as a crisis actor. There is crisis actors. But at the same time, people over-exaggerate. And they'll be like, oh, that didn't even happen. No, it happened. No matter what. It happened. Like, 9/11 happened. Now, it's, did we let it happen? Were we a part of it happening? These are the questions that we got to ask. That's all right to ask those questions. But to me, to just say blatantly, like, no, I know. No, you don't know. But something happened that was out of the ordinary, for sure.
Because
but
people died. People
for
died.
Sure. They really died. And
innocent,
that's the thing.
People died.
But then people pretend like, oh, then nobody died, man. It was all fake hologram fucking lizard people ejaculation.
Yep. It would be nice if that was the truth. But we, you know, chances are they didn't even know themselves. And it's just one of those things.
Most likely they didn't. The same thing with like the Mandalay Bay shooting. The dude is, these people, to me, they're all like informants, you know, like just like this Subway guy. They're all some, who knows if they're mentoring candidates, right? But what I'm saying is it's really happening because how are you going to sell it by just, there's not enough actors in the world. Somebody would leak it out.
Exactly.
Like it would be too hard to do. Now, is there people, what they do a lot, and I think this catches people, is they recycle footage. Oh, so there's a lot of recycled footage, which is different, but that's laziness and trying to be intense because you got to remember.
Yeah, that's more of the network.
Yeah, that's the networks trying to be networks, trying to make those executive decisions, being like, oh,
being the first one.
Well, just to hype it up, like it's like a movie. You know what I mean? You want your shit to look tight. You don't want it to be like, that's why they get those new, look
those
at the
ratings.
State of the art. Like, we got this little death counter. Yep. We got this fucking, look how many people got raped. We got a rape counter. We got like, they have all kinds of statistics.
Kill meter.
Graphics. Yeah, they have graphics to up the ass. I think I didn't get too much. I kind of ended it there on the Ukraine stuff. I think there's more to be said, but I do think they're trying to push for a World War III, because I think what they were internalizing was a lot of civil unrest and civil wars. And I think maybe part of the plan for them doing that is getting civil unrest everywhere and getting people against each other in their own relative countries, counties, and providences. So that way that when a big war does happen, it's going to be a big shift, right? Because then I think then they align with different sides. And I think it makes it easier so people couldn't be like, oh, that's my enemy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like they go, oh, yes. That's your enemy. So that.
No question about it.
Exactly.
And it's no emotions off their back. You know what I mean?
Well, let's switch gears real quick. That's a good sound effect right there. No, I want to talk about that Marjorie Taylor Greene, how I was comparing her to AOC. And
okay,
she had a new like a little encounter with Jim Acosta. I don't know if you know who Jim Acosta is. He's an idiot too. He's an idiot. Like
I love
get
that
it.
Guy. It's weird.
Well, that's if you're a CNN guy. Yeah, like
they love him.
That's just like people love Hannity, which I never
they
understood
love him
either.
Too.
I'm like, Hannity's a piece of shit, man. He fucking wears a CIA pin every fucking show. But okay.
That's
your
truth.
Boy.
That's truth.
She ran into Jim Acosta. He was kind of hitting her up. And the reason why I am curious about this clip, I kind of broke it down to two clips because it was like a almost 4 minute clip, but a lot of bullshit, like, because they were trying to get to the point. You could tell they were both playing their sides. Nobody was trying to. My point of this is that I don't believe any of these people are being transparent. Acosta's not being transparent, and Marjorie Taylor Greene is not being transparent. And how can you call them fake news or calling people out for not being transparent if you're not going to do the same thing? We should all just be like, hey, this is what happened. This is what I seen, blah, 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 blah. But they're not. We're all doing it like we're all on trial. So here we go.
So I guess you also said that you didn't recall calling Nancy Pelosi a traitor. Is that right?
You know, Jim, the problem...
You don't seem to recall a lot.
Well,
What's going on there?
You know, Jim, you have a show, and in all fairness, you try to present this image of me to your viewers, and it's just really not correct.
Well, we're just trying to get some answers. Did you send a text asking for the president to declare martial law? Did you do that?
You know, I don't recall those being my text messages, but have you read the text message that you're referring to?
I did,
because
yeah,
it actually says if you...
It was misspelled, but it seemed to say
actually
that you're calling
it says
for martial
if
law.
You read it correctly, Jim, your problem is you're lying again right now. It says, I do not know on those things. That's what that text message
Why even bring it up? Why even bring up martial law?
No, you know, your problem is you're just one of those liars on television. And people hate it. They can't stand the liars on television.
I'm not the one saying I don't recall.
Supposed text message.
So that's it's all. Sorry about the audio, but they're outside, as you could tell. Like, so you hear all the wind and all that extra. So that's just right there where he's kind of like confronting her and she's kind of like, oh, you're fake news. Like, no, people don't like you, blah, blah, blah. And she's telling him, pull out the text message. Right. So, OK, I could kind of understand if you're getting misquoted. But when you hear what, like, that's the second part of I have it and what she said. And I think I could pull it up. I got it somewhere over here. While I get the clip, I'll pull it up. But what she exactly said, my thing is, she's still not being transparent of what she said. She's not. She keeps saying, like, well, I don't know. I might have said that. I might not have said that. Like,
she sounds like she's on trial and she's outside.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And you're saying, like, oh, we need people that are going to be there. Now, I don't know if this is her text message. But if it was not I know what if I text message something. I get it that we text message a lot and that.
They're probably busy.
Yeah, I get that, but there's got to be some point of that's a pretty important time, right?
Yeah, these people, like, went to college. I think they have a decent
no,
memory.
No, I'm saying like January 6th, everything was going down. I'm sure there would be, you would have a remembrance of having some kind of text of a conversation with somebody important as talking about martial law. So here goes with what she allegedly said.
In our private chat with only members, several are saying the only way to save our republic is for Trump to call for martial law. Marshall was
don't
not spelled.
Keep going with
I don't,
the text message.
I don't know on those things.
Wait,
I just wanted you
stop.
To tell him.
I don't know on those
they
things.
Still,
is that what that says? It says, I don't know on
but,
those things.
But why?
Wait,
you
hold
bring
on,
it up?
Stop. This text message that's supposedly mine, I don't know if it is. What does it
right.
say? It says some members, and then it
but
says, wait, hold on.
It
says,
why
I don't know.
Idea?
Wait, I don't know if that's my text. It says, I don't know on those things. Why don't you tell that story?
You're saying you don't
no,
know if
you're
it's your
lying.
Text, but you're being
you're
awful
a liar.
Defensive about it.
You know why people do not like
why
you?
Why are you being so defensive about it?
Because you're a liar. Why do you
want to
lie on television?
It goes on for a long time. She calls him a liar. Then she starts telling him, like, don't harass me. Don't harass. This is the alleged whole text message that was, like, on January 17th, 2021 from Marjorie Taylor Greene to Mark Meadows. In our private chat with only members, several are saying the only way to save our republic is for Trump to call for martial law. I don't know on those things. I just wanted you to tell him. They stole this election. We all know. They will destroy our country next. Please tell him to declassify as much as possible so we can go after Biden and anyone else. Then why doesn't she say that? Like, if that's what you still believe, so, like, you could have been like, oh, I wasn't calling for martial law, but, like, the way you worded it was weird.
It was worded weird.
And
totally.
I know a lot of the QAnon people, a lot of the Anons, the people that, like, follow Q because they get mad if you call them QAnon, they're Anons and they're Q. I get it, like, but a lot of what they're doing is they're following these kind of people. And they've all said, oh, the military is the only way, martial law. They don't understand the impact of that. And I think that is part of the the psyops that we go through is like, you know, these Durham investigations, which from what I heard that he was already like the statutory limitations is already passed. That's what I've heard, but I don't know how true to that is. But they just dangle these things and people eat it up, and I think they kind of follow this Marjorie Taylor Greene as some kind of hero as well, as if she's a American first. But then why don't you fucking tell us the truth? Like, what did you say? What was really going on? And then just say it right there. Who cares if it's CNN? Who cares if they're gonna twist up your words? Have someone recording the same thing to you, or just say, "I don't recall," and leave it. Don't engage then at all. Like, that's my whole point. Is like, I get it. You're getting like attacked on the streets, kind of like, and maybe you don't really like, you know, you're not sure to like, you don't want to say the wrong thing. Yeah, they could spin it another way. Sure, then just say no comment. Keep going. And just keep going. And don't say harassed, because, no, we have to have the freedom of press. They are allowed to ask you questions. But at the same time, when do we get these questions answered? Because when the public asks, Marjorie Taylor Greene's not going to come on my show and let me ask her whatever the fuck I want. You know what I mean? Trump is not going to come onto my show. Pelosi, like, none of these people are going to let us actually have conversations that are not.
They don't want to answer. They don't want to answer those questions. Exactly. And instead of, like you said, instead of saying, I don't know, or just skip around it, they decided,
or I'll release a statement later. You know what I mean? Like, so I'm just pointing out the hypocrisy of the left and right act a lot alike, and Marjorie Taylor Greene is the red AOC, meaning that she's trying to just get sound bites, she's trying to get on TV, she's trying to make a name for herself instead of actually trying to do something for the country. And maybe she delusionally believes she is doing something for the country, but if you're not trying to build unification of the working class, then get the fuck out of here. That's how I look at it.
She's playing politics.
She's playing politics, and we're the working class. We got to stop falling for this fucking rope-a-dope bullshit that they do. And let's leave it at that.
There's AOC and there's MTG.
Yeah, the same shit. So now the news is, toxic masculinity is pretty bad. So they're saying that toxic masculinity buys trucks, and that's killing the planet.
We talked a bit about what queer ecology is.
It basically just refers to a way of thinking that sees connections between environmental issues and issues of gender and sexuality. So an example I always give to my students is we look at the recent rise in mega truck purchases in the U.S. So Consumer Reports has found a huge leap in truck weight and size over the past 20 years. And those types of trucks are often an expression of traditional heterosexual masculinity, right? Or we could also say white masculinity. And those vehicles kill pedestrians at a much higher rate than other vehicles. And of course, are, you know, killing the planet with their massive fossil fuel consumption. So it's almost the literal definition of toxic masculinity. So that's a place I often start with people as an example.
You know the feeling of taking a hot dump at your rich friend's house? It's what it feels like driving a Ford All-American F-150.
Oh, man, that's so funny on so many levels.
Oh, I know, man. They're saying that, like, it's funny, too, because remember, like, the thing, the joke all the time was like, oh, he has a little dick.
If he's got a big truck.
I don't know who started that, though.
I don't know either.
And now, I believe that, like, the thing, too, is it does annoy me sometimes. I mean, I don't have a truck, but it does annoy me that people have trucks that, like, they don't use it as a truck. Right. Like, you're like, you never haul shit. You're never, like, what do you have a fucking truck
then? You're just driving
in the city. Go buy a fucking car or SUV, idiot. Yeah. Like, why do you have a truck with a fucking 4-foot bed?
And you can't even haul anything. They always try to park where cars are parked.
Yeah, but you have a 4-foot bed. You can't haul anything. Can't even get a fridge out. You're like, fool. The whole point of having a truck is having the bed and being able to haul shit. Or, you know,
I mean, that's what it's for. Or hauling stuff. You got a boat. Yeah. You know, you got to haul stuff. But
they became like funnier now. Like, you know, like it became like, oh, like it's funny now because it became a thing. Like, where I gotta have a truck, man. You know what I mean? You got a truck. And, but hey, I don't know, bitches, because I seen this one fool. He's like, he was in Mexico and he was asking the chicks, hey, truck or a car? And they're all truck. The Mexican bitches love the trucks. I'm just saying. You can see it on TikTok. I'm just saying.
I've seen a lot of women driving trucks.
Yeah, they like trucks. Yeah, I think they just, hey, maybe it's just great marketing. Maybe
I just came from Arizona, man, and there was so many women driving trucks.
Oh, dang, yeah.
Maybe they had toxic masculinity too, but they had boobs.
Well, you don't know what their gender is.
I'm assuming. But I guess, you know, I'm one of those toxic masculine guys.
Yeah, you're just toxic fucking piece of shit, man. You fucking just talk. Look at the toxic that we're breathing everywhere. We're everything. Just killing everybody.
Killing the planet.
Yeah, that's what they said. It's all fault. You know what?
That's confusing to kids, man. If I was a little kid and I heard that, I'd be like, wait, what? Trucks are hurting the planet because of my penis?
And then what's it called? It looks like they're really pushing out. I know we were eating like some cocktail, shrimp cocktail last night.
Oh, that was
fucking,
good.
Well, ceviche.
A lot of people don't like shrimp.
That's bugs of the sea, right?
That's what they say.
Now, it looks like Australia is already getting us prepped.
Well, brave volunteers are putting their taste buds to the test at the University of Adelaide. Researchers are preparing common insects for consumption, insisting sustainable food sources are the future.
Crickets, ants, and mealworms, usually the last things you want to see in a kitchen. But forget using words like creepy or crawly to describe the dishes they're plating up at the University of Adelaide.
Crunchy and flaky. It's pretty delicious.
People often assume that what they might taste like is kind of this insect, and that's often something that's a bit squishy and squelchy and not too appetizing.
Researchers want to change that, frying, roasting and dehydrating insects to be included in an everyday diet.
They're also really high in protein and good fats. They can be raised using very little environmental resources.
And that's a big win. Global food production accounts for more than a third of the world's greenhouse gas emissions.
Researchers say the way the insects are prepared is key. Now, I'm told the roasted mealworm is one of the most palatable for beginners, so bon appetit. A bit like roast chicken.
Start small. You might like to try them in a powdered form where you can't see them.
Feedback from the uni's taste testers will create a sensory guide which can then be used by industries for product creation or by anyone curious enough to try.
A lot of our retailers in Australia have their insects available online.
Taylor Jones, 7 News.
Tastes like poop.
Yeah, the bugs is getting heavier and heavier, but there's been so many different articles. But man, they're just really trying to like get into the psyche of the human psyche and be like, hey, the bugs are pretty. I know that people eat bugs in other countries.
They do.
It's not a,
they do.
A
you can
thing.
Eat a bug, you know?
Yeah, but it's
anybody
not.
Anybody can eat a bug.
But I'd rather have a burger. Of
course. But I just saw an article about they can see cow farts from outer space.
Oh man, we're gonna have to get rid of that.
They're pushing for no meat.
Yeah, because they want either the bug meat or the synthetic meat, because they got a lot of that synthetic meat going on. I mean, fuck, we were eating imitation crab last night.
But at that point, I'd rather eat the synthetic meat. No.
I don't know. Man.
I'd have to do a taste test, but.
Yeah, that's going to be rough. Like,
then what's it going to do to our body?
Exactly. Well, we don't know with all what's why there's so much prevalent cancer and prevalent diseases. Is it because of the.
Because of the HMOs and the hormones.
Yeah, all the hormones that they pumped in, the antibiotics that they, you know, there's so many different factors. So a lot of it plays into it. But I think it's just this whole mentality of, like I said, the Elon Musk mentality of own nothing and be happy. Just live on your couch.
Eat some bugs.
It's easy, man. You just fucking have to have a t-shirt, some underwear, and a pair of pants and some socks. The same ones. You could just wear the same ones and just wash it every other day. And then what you do is you just live on other people's couches. But the thing is, like, who's going to own the couches then? Right. Like, is it just going to be government-owned couches? They're like, hey, we just got couches all over with a little awning. You just sleep there. Just sleep for 2 to 3 hours. That's all you really need. And then you go back to work.
Go back to work.
That's
go
it.
Right back to work.
Yeah, right back to work.
And then you get off of work, and then you buy some stuff online.
Yeah, no, you get 20 hours of work. No, let's go 18-hour work days. 1 hour of self-time where you're only able to purchase things.
Only
you know,
purchase
you gotta buy
things.
Stuff. And then you got 20 minutes to eat, 20 minutes to shower and clean your stuff, and boom, go back to sleep.
Sometimes you get to fill out some surveys, though.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, that's if you're good.
Yeah,
that's your vacation.
You're a good human. We're all humans, according to Musk. He wants to authenticate all humans.
He reminds me of that fucking JP from Grandma's Boy. He's like, you're only human. He's like, I'm working on that.
Yeah. Not too human, man.
Yeah, Musk, Mulun.
Elon Musk.
Yeah, we don't really, I don't really have a lot of love for him. Nope. Well, we got some COVID news now. Like, I think this is important. This is a promo from the World Health Organization. It's a pandemic prevention treaty. And I thought that it's something that we should really talk about. I got the actual article and stuff in the show notes as well. But here's the little promo video that they're throwing around.
The COVID-19 pandemic is one of the biggest challenges we are facing. It's been a stark and painful reminder that nobody is safe until everyone is safe. There will be other pandemics and other major health emergencies. No single government or multilateral agency can address this threat alone. Together, we must be better prepared to predict, prevent, detect, assess, and effectively respond to pandemics in a highly coordinated fashion. The 194 member states of the World Health Organization resolved to work together towards a new international instrument for pandemic preparedness and response. This renewed collective commitment is a milestone in stepping up pandemic preparedness at the highest political level. Such an agreement, rooted in the World Health Organization Constitution, could strengthen existing international health instruments, especially the international health regulations, and provide a firm and tested foundation on which we can build and improve. The agreement also has the potential to foster an all-of-government and all-of-society approach, strengthening national, regional, and global capacities and resilience to future pandemics. This could include greatly enhancing international cooperation to improve alert systems, data sharing, research, and local, regional, and global production and distribution of medical public health countermeasures such as vaccines, diagnostics, and personal protective equipment. The agreement could also recognize the One Health approach that connects the health of humans, animals, and our planet. To achieve this, WHO will support its member states in their work and facilitate the involvement of relevant stakeholders, including from civil society and the private sector. Pandemic preparedness needs global leadership for a global health system fit for this millennium. To make this commitment a reality, we must be guided by solidarity, fairness, transparency, inclusiveness, and equity.
Shut up already. It's science.
Yeah, like, so you could see that, like, more globalization.
That was a little stark.
Yeah, they're trying to, like, globalize a lot of stuff, you know, try to make everything. It, to me, that's all I see, everything. Like, I see, like, I don't see red team, blue team. Right. I see everything trying to be centralized as a global leaders try to position for the hierarchy of who's going to be in charge of what. And I think that's what's happening. That's why you'll see conflict. And we may not know exactly what these conflicts are of, but I'm telling you, they're not from any grassroots bullshit.
I think it's wild how they said there's going to be another pandemic.
And yeah, well, they
other pandemic.
I mean, they coughed up, they pushed this idea for the, like, what, 10 years or so before this one. So I think that's the whole thing, is put it into the brain. You get people like,
you make it official.
Yeah, now they're like, oh, this is going to be something. We better watch out for it. Something's going to happen. And then it does happen. You're kind of like, and then that's when people are willing to give, you know, the same thing with terrorism. People are willing to give money or give up taxes, give up rights, give up freedoms in the order of safety, whether it be of a virus or a terrorist. Like, you're just as likely to die of COVID as you are to die of a terrorist attack. Like, it's like the same statistic. You know what I mean? But Fauci says the pandemic's over, but it's not over. It's over, but it's not over.
We are certainly right now in this country out of the pandemic phase. Namely, we don't have 900,000 new infections a day and tens and tens and tens of thousands of hospitalizations and thousands of deaths. We are at a low level right now. So if you're saying, are we out of the pandemic phase in this country? We are. What we hope to do, I don't believe, and I've spoken about this widely, we're not going to eradicate this virus. If we can keep that level very low and intermittently vaccinate people, and I don't know how often that would have to be, Judy, that might be every year, that might be longer, in order to keep that level low. But right now, we are not in the pandemic phase in this country. Pandemic means a widespread throughout the world infection that spreads rapidly among people. So if you look at the global situation, there's no doubt this pandemic is still ongoing.
What the fuck? What the fuck was that?
The guy makes no fucking sense, man. He said it's not. We're out of a pandemic. He's just like, he's good
are we,
though.
Are we in or out?
No, but he's good. That's what he does, man. That's he backs himself up. He makes sure that what he says can't be turned around on him. And later he could go, no. If you go roll the tape, I said this. He's pretty good at covering his ass. I will give him credit on that.
Oh, yeah. He's been doing it for a long time.
I think that all these distractions, what like people like to call them, but I think these are not just distractions. These are things that have to happen to get to the point where they want to get at, whether it's with COVID, with the Ukraine, Russia, the collapse of the dollar, the inflation, blah, 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 all that stuff, right? So I think that people play their part. And as we keep thinking, you know, people see these moments of freedom of speech or the CRT things, or this is the buzzword, or this is what we're mad about, or this is what we're fighting against. I think people are still missing that there is a lot of laws that are going in about vaccines and misinformation. California is fighting a law. Lawmakers are fight vaccine misinformation. Misinformation is undermining our ability not only to stop this pandemic, but frankly, save lives. State Senator Richard Pan, sexual Democrat, Sacramento. So there, I got a little clip on that as well, because I was like, I got in the show notes the whole article about it, that you need to read about it, because these things are still happening. It's not over. We're not out of the woodwork. They're still trying to take our freedoms. They're just manipulating us to find new ways to take them. Like, they're like, okay, well, we can't use a terrorist attack every fucking day. Like, we're going to have to switch it up. People are going to see it's bullshit. Here's a little bit about the law.
California lawmakers Tuesday rolled out two new bills to fight COVID-19 vaccine misinformation.
Misinformation is undermining our ability to not only stop this pandemic, but frankly, save lives.
The first is Assembly Bill 2098, which empowers the California Medical Board to discipline doctors who peddle disinformation. The bill allows the board to classify the behavior as unprofessional conduct.
Inaccurate COVID-19 information contradicts the responsibility and threatens to further erode the public trust in the medical profession and puts all patients at risk.
Doctors in support of the legislation say there is a very small number of well-coordinated, well-funded, active group of physicians spreading blatantly false information about the virus and its vaccine.
This isn't a call for a policing of free speech. This is a call for protecting the public against dangerous misinformation, which patients are parroting back to us in our emergency departments every day.
The next bill takes aim at social media sites. Senate Bill 1018 would require websites to be more transparent about how their algorithms push information to its users.
Bottom line here is that we cannot live in a world where Facebook and Google know everything about us and we know nothing about them.
The bill would also require sites to share data showing how misinformation spreads. Congress is considering similar legislation.
We also need to act as a state. Ideally, that we would have a national solution to this. However, we cannot wait.
The bills add to the bulk of legislation introduced this year by a group of Democrats working to strengthen the state's vaccine laws for workers and children. The bills will likely be heard sometime this spring.
Sounds like they're trying to muzzle people and silence information that's getting out there. And speaking of disinformation and different information, to wrap up the last of the clips of what I've kind of had on COVID, here's Dr. Peter McCullough on hepatitis. From adenovirus, sorry. All right. Man, all these damn medical and Russian names, man. What happened to the good old days? No, I was kidding. And we're gonna have, we might have to delegate that to you, Edgar.
I think so. I think
getting you the big word, guys. We're gonna get you the pronunciations. Maybe we're gonna, once we get things going a little bit more, maybe we'll have the little computer right there, and you could fact check me and also be like, this is how you pronounce the name.
I think that's my hat. It's adenovirus AstraZeneca. Okay.
AstraZeneca, I know that
AstraZeneca.
One. Okay, maybe you're not the guy to do that. We have to get a guy in. But yeah, here's about the hepatitis, because there's been a lot of cases of kids getting hepatitis in the news lately in England and around America. Now, they're not linking it to the vaccine, and they're not really saying even which hepatitis people are getting, but it's been something that I've been trying to pay attention to, because I don't know if it is from the vaccine. Is it a side effect? So let's see. This is what McCullough has to say about it.
Now, Laura, this is hepatitis or acute liver inflammation. So these children develop fever, abdominal pain, lethargy, and then jaundice. And the blood tests are easy to employ transaminases and bilirubin to diagnose acute hepatitis. In a report by Marsh and colleagues in Eurosurveillance, 13 children in Scotland, all hospitalized, one needed a liver transplant. Five of them had COVID-19 implicated around the time of the diagnosis of hepatitis, but there are always other viruses involved, namely adenovirus, rotavirus, and other enteroviruses. So what we need to know in all these cases is what is their COVID-19 status? Have they had COVID-19, the respiratory illness, and in fact, have they been exposed to the COVID-19 vaccine? We know reports from outside the United States and elsewhere that the adenovirus in particular can be found along with the rotavirus in sewer water and in the food supply.
Yeah, right. That's what I said, man. It's like, wow, hepatitis, man. Like, they're really trying to figure it out. That's what McCullough sounds like he's trying to do. He doesn't have all the answers at this moment. But I think that's why transparency is important.
I think so.
Because if something
be one of those things.
Yeah, like where we should talk about it. Like, instead of saying, no, this is the science is done. Science is never done. Science is constantly evolving and changing.
Yes,
so
it is.
That's something we need to look into, definitely. And be aware that, this COVID stuff's not going anywhere. I know that over here, what we do is we make fun of the news. We try to decipher it. We try to put out stuff that we think is interesting, old clips, or sometimes we'll go down a rabbit hole of certain things that we think that are relevant to today. And the thing to me is to keep the eye on the ball with the COVID, right? We can't let them think that we're ever going to back down, because we're not going to back down, because we won't comply. I mean, we're just not going to comply anymore. And that's, I think, the basic message of what everybody's trying to say. But when we put down all the things that happen, that like the ironic moments of any event, whether we're talking about 9/11 to JFK, there's these little like sound bites that we get. Now, Samantha Powers, Administrator of United States Agency of International Development. She was on a news feed. I'm not sure what channel that was, but I got the video linked. I didn't have time to clip it. But here's a little brief of what she said. Never let a crisis go to waste. Shortages that will force farmers to transition to natural solutions. Natural solutions. So what she's saying is, in the clip, she basically starts talking about, Ukraine and what's going on in Russia, and that they do have a big supply of our fertilizer. Russia, I guess they import it, to us. And that will have a shortage for farmers, right? But that's good, because now that could push them to go green and different things. And to me, that's another thing to hurt the independent farmer, which I'm not saying most do want to go green and do want to go away from, chemicals and stuff. It just seems like more where they're going to use this crisis. And the only reason, even whether everything else she said didn't matter to me, when I see never let a crisis go to waste, famously said by Henry Kissinger, and then his ties with Vladimir Putin and Putin's fondness of Henry Kissinger. It's just so ironic how these people just throw it out in our face like that. It's ridiculous to me, if you ask me, but hey. And then I'll just these are just the final stories that I kind of went through. I'm going to be digging more all week. We'll keep releasing episodes. We've been pretty consistent releasing them on Mondays. We'll probably start doing lives again once we get everything, settled in. But this is the last story that I found interesting. It was also a Ukraine-Russia story that I just threw in last minute. Pelosi secretly flies to Ukraine to meet with Zelensky. Was she grifting for... grifting for a new multi-million-dollar energy deal for her son? Nancy Pelosi's son, Paul Pelosi Jr., who went to Ukraine in 2017, was a board member of Viscoal or whatever, the oil company, an executive at his related company, NRGL Lab, which did energy business in Ukraine, and Nancy Pelosi appeared in promotional videos for the company.
Wow.
Gateway Pundit has been all over this, I will say. They've been, there's a lot, you can link to the article.
They've been on it, huh?
Yeah, because they kind of like exposing. It's just kind of ironic, the whole, with the Hunter Biden with Ukraine and Pelosi's son, and I think, what's his name's son too? John Kerry's son, or... I think stepson or whatever, something like that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they all had like have prominent roles in these countries, and you're like, man, these jackoffs don't even know anything.
Yeah, they don't. They just they're selling out the country.
Yeah, well, they don't even care. They're just like trying to get fucked up. Probably they're partying. Like, I'm like, man, it's wild. But
I heard it is pretty wild out there though for the partying.
Oh, I did hear that too, man. Yeah, the wild scene. Even in Russia, I heard, like, man, the party scene's hard, bro.
It's different out there.
That's why we got to unite the working class so we can have a good party. You know what I mean? We'll have a real good party.
Real good party, man. Do it American style, too.
But that's really all I got, man. You know, that's all the news I kind of went through. Like I said, we'll continuously be dropping our episodes every Monday. Drops Monday at midnight. And, you know, on your way to work, you can listen to an episode on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast streaming platform. I got new music out, you know. They Want Your Freedom. That's up on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, you know, where all your music streaming platforms. Just look for S-E-A-N-C-H-R-I-S. That's Sean Chris. I got False Flag with the homie VBDC. I got Dystopian Paradise, a little EP. Dropped another EP not too long ago, Psychosis with the homie Harsh. And King Mega, who did all the production. And yeah, I got another new song too that I'll be showing at the end of this with Mikey Mike 626 and Ralph Nervous called Code Red. I got some little truther stuff in there. And be prepared for Thursday, 9 o'clock Eastern, on my IG, Kill the Mockingbirds. We're going to have like a 20-minute, 30-minute little episode with Joel Thomas and Quan from Van Tesla. We got a new single dropping this Friday called Woke Summer. Gonna want to hear that. We're gonna preview the whole song there, have a little discussion about it. Should be a fun time. Other than that, you know how we do it here. You know, you got anything else to say, Edgar?
Nothing much, man. I just want to tell people, you know, I'm running the backup page. That's Operation Kill the Mockingbirds. And just, you know, keep on killing it.
You know how we do it. Wake the fuck up and get woke the fuck up. All right, we out.
The title of this presentation is More Deadly Than War, but the subject matter itself is revolution. We're going to examine in quite a bit of detail the communist theory and practice of revolution, particularly as applied to the United States.
Ring the alarm, someone's loved one found dead in the streets. Ring the alarm, another homeless family with nothing to eat.
And liberty, forgotten history. Let's bring the system down, cleanse the toxicity. Lucifer Symphony, people drowning in misery. Locked and loaded, heavy artillery. Waking my people up, we march towards victory. Predict the programming, fuck your sequel. Globalist conquering, dividing the people. With a Cyclops, IOP, Project Bluebeam, BIOP. Patrolling your block, F-15s and nuclear Nighthawks. Richard Ramirez, the government night stock. Treating human beings just like livestock. Way too close to the truth, take two to the head. Covered up by the feds just like Gary Webb. Burn them alive, it's the ATF. David Koresh live and direct, our lives are the threat.
Ring the alarm, someone's loved one found dead in the streets. Ring the alarm, another homeless family with nothing to eat. Ring the alarm, a brown or black human killed by the police.
In harmony when war is the option they choose. Strap at the armory, a regular traffic stop or the cop in a shitty move. When false move can be the reason the bullet has touched your artery. Another casualty for history as fate is marked. Ain't shit gonna change unless we stand in the black Rosa Parks. Plans from a man executed in silence. Peaceful protest and eventually result in the violence. Yup, seems like a new world order is in the process. A long trail of history is proving the world toxic. Blinded by the facts and encouraged to follow nonsense. Religion rewritten, be cautious of false prophets, huh? Don't say you woke if you deep in the sleepwalking. Celestials and demons, they beefing, they keep talking. Eventually you lose underneath for the beast stalking. Till the Grim Reaper feasting on souls in a deep coffin. Shit is
real. Someone's loved one found dead in the streets.
Ring the alarm.
Another homeless family with nothing to eat.
Ring the alarm.
A brown or black human killed by the police.
Ring the alarm.
Drugs, rape, and thievery. There ain't no room for me. No.
Now this will not be something dreamed up out of thin air. This will be the strategy as taught by them and advocated by them in their own manuals, in their textbooks, and in their schools.